Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, they are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. And this is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be ever pleasing to you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please do grab a seat. Now, there are some Bible passages that when you've been around church for a while, you learn to hear maybe with your church ears. You know what I mean. Someone says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and we relax. Someone says, "God so loved the world," and we know exactly where we are. And then there are passages where if we actually stop and listen to what is being said, we think, "Hang on a minute, did that really just happen?" And today's gospel, I think, is one of those passages. Because this is Jesus. Jesus, who normally welcomes the person everyone else wants to get rid of. Jesus, who notices the people nobody else does. Jesus, who seems to have a particular gift for finding the person on the edge of the crowd and saying, "Come here." But then along comes this woman. She's desperate. She's shouting after Jesus, "Have mercy on me, Lord." And what does Jesus do? Nothing. He ignores her. The disciples say, "Send her away," and Jesus doesn't stop them. He's almost agreeing with them. And then he goes on and talks about children and dogs. At which point, if this was a TV program, I think most of us would have reached the remote and changed the channel, thinking, "Sorry, we've accidentally tuned into the wrong Jesus." Because that is not how we expect Jesus to behave. But that, I think, is precisely why we need to pay attention to the passage. Because this strange encounter comes immediately after Jesus has been talking about something important, the difference between what we see on the outside and what is happening in the heart. And then Matthew gives us this woman. On the outside, she seems to be absolutely everything the religious insiders would regard as wrong. But somehow, by the end of the story, she is the one Jesus praises. And I think that's the great surprise. The people who think they understand who belongs discovers that they have missed something. And the person everyone assumes is on the outside turns out to be the one who shows everyone else what faith looks like. Because there is something here that Jesus wants us to see. So we said at the beginning of that passage, Jesus is talking about something rather different. The Pharisees here are concerned about washing hands, about religious purity, about the rules that distinguish between what is clean and unclean. And Jesus says, listen and understand to this. What goes into the mouth does not defile a person, but what comes out of it. In other words, Jesus is saying that the real problem in this context is not primarily what is happening on the outside, it is what's happening within. You can wash your hands and still have a dirty heart, he's saying. You can observe every religious rule and still be full of contempt. The Pharisees were looking at those external differences, but Jesus is telling them and reminding them to look within. And then here we get the Canaanite woman after, sometimes this known as the Sarah, oh, I can't say the word, so I'm not even going to. She's known as another kind of woman. She's the same woman, though, whatever passage you read her in. And it's almost though Jesus is putting the teaching to the test that he's just done, because she's as much of an outsider as possible. A woman, a Canaanite, a Gentile, living outside of Israel. She belongs to a people with a long and bitter history of hostility towards Israel. The wrong gender, the wrong ethnicity, the wrong heritage, the wrong religion. The exact kind of person against the community might define itself. And yet she comes and says, have mercy on me. My daughter is tormented. And as we said, Jesus ignores her, telling her, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's uncomfortable. It should be. But if we understand the story in the best possible light, we cannot make the words that Jesus says less shocking. We're still not expecting him to do that. And then comes the sentence that maybe I wince at most. Is it not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs? What on earth is Jesus doing? One possibility is that Jesus is deliberately holding up a mirror to the disciples, reminding them what has just happened, what he's just been teaching them about, telling them that the religious observance means nothing if the heart is full of evil. He's talking about grace and mercy. But their instinct still is to say, send her away. Perhaps Jesus allows their prejudice to become visible. Perhaps he speaks aloud the assumption that is already in the room. And suddenly the disciples have to hear their own assumptions coming out of Jesus' mouth. I wonder if we can imagine ourselves sitting there thinking, well, of course, Jesus doesn't really mean it. Of course he would actually welcome her. He would heal her daughter, because we know what Jesus is like. We would never think like those disciples. We would never decide that someone is too different or too difficult or too far outside of our circle. Would we? And perhaps that is part of the challenge of this story. It's very easy to agree with Jesus in theory. It's much harder when someone actually arrives that makes us feel uncomfortable. We can believe in welcoming someone who arrives until we see them. We can believe in grace until we have to extend it to someone we might not particularly like. We can believe that everyone is made in God's image when quietly maintaining a list of people we would prefer to keep at arm's length. But then Jesus gives the extraordinary answer about the children and the dogs. And the greatest surprise, the woman, she does not walk away. She does not say, well, if that's how you see me, I'm finished with you. Instead, she takes Jesus' own image and turns it. Yes, Lord, she says, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. There it is, that punchline. But this time it's not Jesus who gives the punchline, it's the woman. And it's her answer that changes the encounter. Jesus responds, "Woman, great is your faith." Extraordinary, because the woman everyone assumes is furthest from God turns out to be the one who understands. The woman who is socially marginalized breaks through those differences to claim God's mercy for herself. She's not pretending to be anything other than she is, but she simply refuses to believe that God's mercy is so small that there is none left for her. And perhaps then, the most powerful connection between the first part of that narrative in Matthew and this one is that the first story, it's Jesus who is teaching. He's the one with the punchline. He enlightens his questioners. He tells them the real issue is their heart. And in the second, it is the woman. She is the one who becomes the teacher. And that should make us think, because perhaps the question is not simply, are we like that Canaanite woman? Perhaps the harder question sometimes is, are we like the disciples? Where do we draw our boundaries? Who are the people we instinctively put on the other side, find it difficult to welcome? And the second invitation, I think, is this, is that we are invited to be like that woman, to come as we are to Christ, as ourselves, with our needs, with our uncertainties, when we feel like an outsider. Come with all we have to offer in a desperate prayer, even like she does. Lord, have mercy. Help me. She doesn't wait until she belongs, but she knows the mercy of God is wider than the boundaries around her. And so may we have faith humble enough to discover that sometimes the person we have placed at the margins is the very person God has placed in our path to teach us about what faith is like. Woman, great is your faith. May we learn from her. And may we discover for ourselves that the mercy of God is always bigger than we imagine. Amen.